Welcome to another episode of the After the Whistle podcast. I'm your host, Smiley, joined by Crack, not too much of a full house today. But today is an emergency episode, basically. First of all, let me just say that we've never ever recorded on the Champions League nights before. So if you're recording on the Champions League nights, you should know that all is not well in the world of football. And obviously, we all know what I'm talking about. We are talking about CAF's bombshell decision yesterday, Tuesday, to announce that the result of the AFCON final in January has been overturned. For anybody who has been living under a rock for the past 3 months, let me just give you a brief background of what happened. Basically, in the AFCON final, Senegal walked off the pitch in protest of certain decisions that had gone against them in the match because there was a lot of shaky decision-making going on in that particular match. And honestly, throughout the tournaments, people say that there were a lot of shaky decisions that went in favor of Morocco, like as if there was an agenda for them to win their own tournament. So in the final, it all came to a head. Senegal said, nah, we are fed up. They walked off the pitch for about 17 minutes before finally they came back, continued the match. Morocco was given a penalty. They missed the penalty. They went to extra time. Senegal went on to win. And the rest is history. But history has been reversed because now CAF is saying that the result of that match has been annulled and Morocco has been handed a 3-0 win. Obviously, this decision has set the whole football world on flames because personally, I would say that it's probably the most groundbreaking decision that has ever happened in African football. I can't think of anything that's happened that can overshadow this particular decision. And obviously, we had to come and talk about it because me personally, like, I have a lot to say and I've also seen a lot of things that I want to address. But make I just start with Crack. Like, first of all, this decision, like, how did you feel when you first saw it? Because I saw it from Fabrizio Romano's timeline. As soon as it happened, like, actually, you know, Fabrizio has a lot of parody accounts. So I saw his first, I had to read it, double read it, check, go to his page, make sure that everything is in order because I couldn't believe what I was reading. So, Crack, how did you feel when you first saw the decision? And how do you feel about it right now?
I think you saw my reaction because I saw it from you. You know, when you shared it in a group, I also thought it was a parody, right? I thought it was parody. So I wanted to confirm, but you saw my first reaction. I was like, rubbish. You understand? That was my first reaction without thinking, but that was rubbish. And I had to go on a timeline and I realized that it wasn't just Fabrizio, ESPN Africa and all those things. They are jumped on it. And then and there's a graphic congratulating Morocco already out, like within minutes. I was like, this is absolutely stupid. Like, CAF has outdone themselves this time because that's how I genuinely felt. I felt like, why always us? Why always us? Because this is unprecedented. And this is very, very stupid and silly. Because AFCON was what? Was it December to January? And we are in March.
December to January.
Like, it's been 30 days or more plus. And then you want to, like 40 days, that you are now saying that Senegal should return there. You know what's pissing me off? It's not even just about the return of the trophy and rewarding. It's about them even overturning some of the sanctions for the Moroccans. Reducing Islam and what the players, the player that was preventing the keeper for
Sabari,
reducing his 3-match ban to 2-match ban and his $100,000 fine, scrapping that one as well. The Moroccan fans, you also took like you reduced their sanction price and the ball boys as well. That was being everybody knew Morocco was acting unsportsmanlike. Like everybody saw it from the beginning of the tournament to the end. Everybody knew Morocco were being favored. Decisions were going their way. The Ghana referee did his best, but we still know that some of the referee decisions went against Nigeria. We were doing against, but we knew in the heart of us that, come on, host nation backing was there. But my point is, people are highlighting that, yeah, actions have consequences and all that and all that. Right? When it happened real time, people were talking about why always Africa, people walking out of there. I was like, no. Argentina have done it before. They did it at their cup competitions. We've had club competition teams do that. Africa didn't start this. We didn't start this trend. We've had people do that. We are not going to play, blah, 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 and all those things. But yeah, when it happened, we're all calling Senegal, come on, there's no how to go about it. But nobody could understand their frustration in real time. But then we do with this, like, no. But people are saying that everybody left the pitch. No. Sadio Mane didn't even leave the pitch. But okay, fine. Did the referee know the rule or he didn't understand the rule? Did the fourth official know? Did the officiating body know? Did FIFA president over there know? CAF president over there know? All the CAF bodies there know? Why didn't anybody question the fourth official and the referee and officiating people? Okay, the law says that Senegal, when you stay beyond 30 minutes, end the game and reward Morocco and this one. Did they do it? This decision is supposed to be on field. And on the field, the judge and the ruling body and everybody, the final person has the final say, is the referee on the field. People were highlighting when somebody fails an unqualified player and later, that is management body. That is not an on-field decision. That's management. You are supposed to file, present the names of the league. It's not the referee's duty to come and look for, hey, you are unqualified. How would the ref, you are unqualified, so you are playing. Why are you playing? Do you get my point? It can be double booked. Maybe you've been booked twice. You're supposed to miss the next match. It's the federation and the management that needs to ensure that you are not coming on the pitch by announcing. If you come there, how would the referee go know where he will sack you? So people making such like comparison, I go like, come on. Like, you should be smarter than this. Do you get my point? But what has happened there? What has happened? It's an insult. Because if you check the regulation and everything, right? If you check the regulation, it is supposed to be the referee. It's supposed to be the referee. That is supposed to go like, okay, it's been beyond 30 minutes. We are not playing the match again. Morocco too, when they came back, Morocco could have said no. Senegal has said they should enforce it, but they will not play. They happily want to miss the penalty. They continued and played extra time. First extra time and second extra time. And then they lost. And they accepted it gracefully. Gracefully. Their president, the FIFA president, everybody was there. Didn't they come and give Senegal the medal? They did all of that. You finish the ceremony, you come and say that appeals committee. Appeals committee, my ass. Why always Africa? Already people don't respect AFCON. People don't. And why is it that we had, even regardless of what Morocco did, said, the tournament was beautifully organized. Like, why be saying that, oh, can this guy, this thing, it looks like an European competition. It looks like the Euros. Why even saying that Morocco is driven ready toward the World Cup in sense? Because of how beautiful the stadium were, how beautiful the place, like the environment, the country, everything was well done, except the cheating. But yeah, but everything was still well done. DR Congo, with a guy depicting their famous leader,
Lumumba,
and all of that. The stories that came out. Do you get it? The stories that came out. And because this poll doesn't want, they said they'll know who's the WAF corner. And they threaten you, know. Me, I said, I like what Senegal has done. They brought CAFA for investigation. That committee, they need to investigate it. And the fact that committee was headed by a Nigerian chef, is they should be investigated more. Yes, I've said it. The fact that it was headed by a Nigerian, they should be investigated more. The president of a Nigerian, they should investigate them more. You don't even have sense that see what this poll did to your country chef. You don't even think twice and be fair. But look at what you've done. Why won't they say, why always Nigerian? They should investigate them for corruption because it's from Nigeria. That's what I have to say now.
So let me just give a little context to some of the things that Crack said. So particularly the Women's AFCON. So in case you didn't know, The women's AFCON was actually scheduled to start today, today being 18th March. And then about a month to the start of the tournament, Morocco pulled out of hosting. They said they no longer want to host for reasons unknown to me. And it's been argued that that decision is linked to this AFCON final. And it was Morocco's way of trying to sort of twist CAF's arms into making a decision in their favor. So now that the decision comes in their favor, it kind of looks very it looks very shady in the eyes of many people, including myself, because obviously when we first spoke about this entire situation in January after the final and everything, we spoke about it. I was of the view that Senegal had to be punished, and I still stand by that one. I was of the view that Senegal, for the purposes of the fact that we are not trying to set certain precedents, they should be punished. And they were punished. The coach was given a six-game ban. A number of their players were given heavy bans, heavy fines, all of that. Some of the Moroccan players too were also given fines, just like Saïd Barry that Crack was talking about. And somehow, first of all, in this entire reversal of the results, it's also come out that CAF has also reversed or reduced some of the punishments that were given to some of these Moroccan players. So, for example, Saïd Barry's fine was reduced. His ban, which was initially 3 games, was reduced to 2 games. The fine that was given to their ball boys too has also been reduced. Like, there's been so many reductions on the Moroccan end, but nothing on the Senegalese end. I don't have a problem with not reducing or scrapping any of the sanctions against the Senegalese individuals. But this particular decision, it's very important for people to understand that there's a difference between a sporting decision or an on-pitch decision and an administrative decision. So, for example, I saw this tweet by Sichu. Sichu is a popular Ghanaian sports journalist. I'm sure a lot of people know him from Joy Sports. So he tweeted that South Africa beat Lesotho 2-0 in the World Cup qualifiers. Mokoena was said to be ineligible to play that game because he had accumulated cards. Ref did his job. South Africa won 2-0, but FIFA ruled against South Africa and overturned the score. They called it a forfeiture, and South Africa lost 3-0, lost 3 points, and Lesotho gained what South Africa lost. FIFA didn't say because the match commissioner and ref allowed Mokoena to play, the result of the game was final. So to suggest that because the ref allowed the final to continue, Morocco couldn't have appealed and won is some way. First of all, what annoys me about these type of comparisons is that it's an absolute false equivalence. You're comparing oranges to alungwi tungwi. It's not the same thing at all. Because here's the thing. When you're dealing with ineligible players, it's completely an administrative decision. Crack mentioned that as he was making a submission. It's a completely administrative procedure to decide who is eligible or who is ineligible for a match. It's not the referee who comes to the pitch and come and check your passport to make sure that you're a Congolese player or you're a Lesotho player or you're a South African player. That's not the job of the referee. So let me just use the example of the popular appeal against an ineligible situation going on, particularly right now with Nigeria, even though it's been thrown out. But Nigeria made an appeal against DR Congo in relation to their World Cup playoff that took place a few months ago. So basically, Nigeria's argument was that DR Congo fielded certain players, including Wan-Bissaka and a few other of those dual nationals. And the argument was that DR Congo's laws state that a citizen cannot be a dual passport holder. You can't hold a DR Congo passport, for example, and maybe a Belgian passport. You have to be solely a DR Congo's passport holder. Under FIFA laws, FIFA doesn't really care about how many passports you hold. FIFA, if you are even holding 5 passports, they don't really care. All they care about is the fact that you hold a passport for the country that you're representing at that particular point in time. So now a decision like that, how can you tell me that that is something that you can see that, okay, the referee allowed him to play. So you are trying to sarcastically use it against us that the referee's decision should stand, since we are also saying that in this particular situation, the referee's decision should stand. Because this, again, is a purely administrative decision. These referees are just there to decide on pitch incidents, offside, red card, even when it comes to the eligibility of players. Theirs is to decide, check that, okay, the identity of the player coming on or the identity of the player playing the match matches with the data that they have been provided. So, for example, this Asamajan, this be the Asamajan. This guy is this guy. His identity matches his kit. All of those things. If you, your player gets 5-match ban and you decide to bring him to the park, the referee is not, it's not for the referee to say that this guy, he has a ban from previous matches, so he can't play. The referee will allow you to play. After the game, the decision makers will decide that, okay, this guy wasn't supposed to play this match. So the outcome of the match has been annulled, whatever the case may be. So my whole point is that what happened in the final was completely an on-pitch decision. And here's the thing, even though the laws do say that if a team walks off the pitch, it's a forfeiture of the match, it is not a black and white thing, because it's for the referee to decide that, okay, under these circumstances, the reason why they walked off may be valid. He may understand why they walked off or whatever the case may be. So, for example, there's a racial incident. Your player has been racially abused. So you say that we are walking off the pitch. In that situation, the referee might look at the situation. He's not obliged to, but the referee can look at the decision, at the situation, and decide that, okay, due to the circumstances, he understands why the team walked off the pitch. So he's prepared to pause the game for a bit of time, see whether they can settle the mood, settle the situation, and then allow them to come back. So in that situation, for example, you can't say that they walked off the pitch, so they forfeited the match automatically. And that's why the referees are there, because they are there to interpret the rules in the way they see it. So when it comes to on-pitch decisions, as much as you have the rules to guide you in certain situations, the referee's interpretation is the final say. That's why, for example, one referee can give a handball for a particular situation. Another referee can decide that, okay, this one, it doesn't meet the threshold that he thinks should be a handball or something like that. So in everything, in almost every rule in football, unless it's maybe an offside or something, you have a certain level of subjectivity in determining the final outcome. So that's just all to say that it's very likely that when the case goes to CAS, which is the Court of Arbitration for Sports, they are going to overturn this. Because history has shown that CAS is very, they are very much against interfering with on-pitch refereeing decisions. So, for example, a few years ago, they decided that a game between South Africa and Senegal should be replayed. So the game itself was played in November 2016 and South Africa won 2-1. But the referee, funny enough, the referee was a Ghanaian referee, Joseph Lamptey. Every Ghanaian football fan knows referee Joseph Lamptey. So Joseph Lamptey awarded a penalty to South Africa for a handball by Khalidou Koulibaly. But the replays showed that the ball didn't hit Koulibaly's hand. It hit his knee. So in the aftermath of the match, FIFA conducted an investigation. And they found that they managed to find a link between Joseph Lamptey and some betting activity that was going on. Basically, they basically found out that Joseph Lamptey was corrupt. He was involved in some betting situation that influenced his decision-making. And that was the basis upon which that decision was overturned. And I need people to understand the difference, because the decision wasn't overturned because the referee gave a wrong penalty. The referee, the ball didn't hit the player's hand. They overturned the decision mainly because they found evidence of corruption against Joseph Lamptey. So in the absence of that evidence, the referee's decision would have stood, because in the end, referees make mistakes all the time. We've seen referees make the most obvious errors. Man United, there was a time that they sent off Fabio instead of sending off Raphael, just because they are twins. There was a time that they sent off, was it Oxlade-Chamberlain instead of that other Arsenal player? I've forgotten his name. He was a left back. There was a time that a referee gave one player 3 yellow cards. And in all those things, you don't overturn the decision, because in the end, it's very important to preserve the integrity of refereeing decisions on the park. Because what people don't understand is that if you allow something like this to happen, the sort of precedent you are setting to open the floodgates to people overturning match results in the courtroom is going to be something that you can never bring back. You are going to have so many situations where teams will have a valid reason to overturn a match result. And that's why it's very important to decide that, okay, even though this refereeing decision, it might have a lot of mistakes in it, it might be flawed, you still want to preserve the integrity of the decision that took place on the pitch. You can deal with the referee in a different way off the pitch. I know people don't like to hear that, because in that moment, if your team has had a decision go against you, you are very angry, you are very emotional, you want everything to just crumble, you want everybody to be sacked and everything. I mean, I'm not opposed to sacking referees for bad decisions. I'm not opposed to suspending them. And for me, that's how bad decisions should be treated by referees. And in any case, in this particular situation, we don't even have full evidence that the referee was unaware of the rule that if you walk off the pitch, this is the sanction that should be applied. Like I said, the referee has the discretion of analyzing the situation and deciding that, okay, this is how I'm going to address this one. Maybe I understand why this happened, and this is why I'm going to allow the match to continue. So, like, so far, plenty people have, there have been so many arguments going back and forth. But for me, the bottom line is that I'm yet to see a valid argument to uphold this bizarre decision by CAF. And I'll be very, very shocked if the decision is not overturned by the Court of Arbitration for Sports. This one, I wish we had more people. Me, I actually wish that we had people who were in favor of this decision by CAF so that we can debate them properly. But unfortunately, it'll be the two of us.
You see, you've captured it all. And me, imagine we not having the hand of God because they took Maradona and Argentina to court. You understand? Imagine we, like, imperfect decisions is what makes sports beautiful. Because we always have something to talk about. Remember the pushback against VAR when VAR was coming? We were like, oh, not even we. Most people were like, oh, right now football is becoming too methodical. Right now, machine, they can't decide this one. Where the passion day, where the emotion day. A lot of people were having pushback against VAR. Right now, we have videos where people are saying that if VAR, they like Madrid, they are. Madrid and my champions be reduced by 3 because some decisions there, some goals be offside and all those things. Like, imagine, but what you are doing now, by overturning finals results, major tournament results, bro, this is a dangerous precedent you are setting. And I hate the fact that it had to start from Africa. Why? We know the world tournament way. See, we, Netherlands against Argentina, semi-final. Messi handled the ball. The referee, discretion, he decided not to give Messi a yellow card. If he had given Messi a yellow card, he would have missed the finals. You think the referees are not aware of these things? You think before matches, they don't know the senior men that have yellow cards and things? Unless you be repeat offender where they don't get any option or the tackle will be so bad that they can't look away. You understand? But some things they don't go look because they know that the beautiful game. They'll need Messi in the final. Messi, if Messi not in the final, you think the people will watch and things? You think the final would have been beautiful with Argentina like Messi versus Mbappe? You think they would have preferred Di Maria versus or Lisandro Martinez versus Mbappe? No. Do you get it? They know these things. But then again, this is a pure referee decision, on-field decision. And the same rules that govern CAF says it clearly. Who had to enforce the rule? It was the referee. Morocco had an opportunity to also say they won't play because of Senegal, this one. Let's go and settle it in court. That would have been different. That would have been the best. Morocco to say that they no go play. But Morocco happily went to take their penalty to the extent that people are conspiracy saying that, oh, they asked them money. Media, that's it. There have been nonsense till now. They ask their money, go talk.
They agree, so Goshadab missed the penalty.
Goshadab missed the penalty. Meanwhile, we all know, say Mendy. Mendy not like die for penalty. We all know that we have evidence of it against Aguero and things. He not go die. Do you get it? He won't. You understand? So all these conspiracy theories and things that came out right now, so the conspiracy theory, then they lie, they not share that. Like, what far you watch for the outcome make it easy, Moroccans get pure heart, where they go talk, say, oh, make we dash Senegal this penalty after what went on. Tell me, pa, see what they do there, the keeper in Tawo safe. See what even their own player was doing there. This one, saying that, juju, the man, this one was black magic. Nonsense, black magic. If you suspect me of black magic, go help me by missing penalty. You see some before? You understand? We are just a joke of a continent, man. Like, and you have few people making decisions that affects all of us. Makes us look in the funny, because history always remember this. Like, right now, we are in the social media age where you can't change history by writing something where 100 years later, they will change and can't talk. Say, see, 100 years, maybe we create AI. Videos like this, what we do, good day. Unless you delete everything off the internet, Rihanna's internet. Unless you delete everything on Rihanna's internet. You understand? But videos like ATW, still discussing City, everyone talks for everybody discuss, will always be there. You just search, it is there. It is there. You can't look, but even if they overturn it, we are still a joke. But this shouldn't be happening in the first place. This shouldn't have happened. Morocco lost fair and square.
So, speaking about being a joke, one of the funny things, or maybe not really funny, but annoying things for a lot of people, is that it's sort of like this whole situation has proven Jamie Carragher right.
He has validated it.
A few months, or how long, I think it was a year ago or so, he passed this comment that AFCON is not a major tournament. Now, first of all, I don't agree with him saying AFCON is not a major tournament, because like, for when it comes to something being a major tournament, it's not a matter of opinion. AFCON is like, is the tournament of Africa. But if you're talking about African football in general being maybe not very credible, that one, a point can be made. But as for being a major tournament, for me, that one is not, it's objectively a major tournament. It's not a subjective matter. But when it comes to the credibility of our football, that's where now you might say that he has a case. Because first of all, like, our football has been plagued with so many problems. I know that people like to make this, you know, yesterday when we were passing these comments that Jamie Carragher has been proven right, when people were trying to do this whole UEFA be more corrupt than CAF and all sorts of things. Bro, first of all, that will not be true. UEFA is not more corrupt than CAF. And CAF, the corruption, UEFA's corruption, if anything, too, it's a little more high-level corruption. CAF corruption be very surface-level, like, lowest-hanging fruit corruption. So, first of all, like, it's very funny to me that people are just trying to be defensive. Obviously, it's your continent. You want to defend your continent against outsiders. But me, there's this thing about, I think, Africans in general, where it's like, there are certain things that you say about ourselves that if somebody from the outside sees it, then they get offended. Like, if Donald Trump comes to say Africa be shithole and everything, everybody says, oh, Africa, this, that. But bro, like, what have you done to not prove this? What have you done to not justify this? Like, here's the thing. AFCON itself, it's been historically a very poorly organized tournament, to the extent that this particular tournament, we are hailing them for the fact that there were good pitches. Like, for a major tournament, that's like bare minimum, having good pitches, to the extent that one of the observations a lot of people made was that this particular AFCON, the reason why the big teams did so well is that the pitches were so good that the big teams were able to play their football the way they want to play it. There was no buga buga ball. You know, if you play slick passing because the ball, they bounce on the pitch. The pitches were good. So you were able to tell quality apart from the Sanquas. So basically it worked in favor of the big teams. Like, bro, if you're talking about a credible tournament, like, how can you in 2026 be celebrating the fact that you have good pitches in a tournament? Then, not to mention the fact that you are talking about a tournament where every year we are in arrears. If we play AFCON this year, 2026, it'll be AFCON 2025. If we go play AFCON 2027, it's actually AFCON 2026. Like, we've been in arrears on this tournament. We've had so many years where AFCON has been held in back-to-back years. And people go talk to Copa America to be the same. Copa America, we and them, we be paired. Like, we all did the same basket inside. I'm not saying that they are better. Like, we be the same. Like, so I don't know why people like to say, yeah, but Copa America. Copa America, there was a time that they organized it like 3 years back-to-back-to-back. Just to say Messi go few wins from. Like, so I don't understand why people try to think that, oh, yeah, Copa America today they do something. Like, bro, we and them, we be the same. Like, Africa, South America, like, we all come from the same pot. So, like, I don't understand why people get very defensive about that thing and they try to use all these equivalences. We have a tournament that we are always hosting it in arrears. We have a tournament that, till now, we can't even decide on the calendar for the tournament. This year, it was held in December, January. The year before, it was held in January, February. Next year, it's going to be held in June, July. Like, bro, these are things that an outsider, you are looking at the thing, at everything from your perspective as an African, so you have probably a biased outlook to it. Maybe you understand the dynamics of why it's being moved around. You understand that, okay, the African climate is different. So hosting it in June, July wouldn't be convenient for certain countries. At the same time, hosting it in January, as we all saw in Morocco, was also not convenient for their climates because it was raining during almost every match. So obviously, as an insider, you understand that, okay, this tournament is very hard to find a particular time of the year that is convenient for all the African countries. But then if you're like an outsider looking in from the outside, you'll be wondering, how is it that you're calling this a major tournament? You're calling this an important tournament. And every year, it's being hosted at a different time of the year. It's being hosted in areas like, there are always some question marks about certain basic things about the organization and other things. It's like, we can honestly say that it's just these past two AFCONs that you can say that, like, it's the first time we've had back-to-back AFCONs without any major issues. Until this final, that the final just comes scatter everything. But if I put that final aside, it was a very well-organized tournament. The stadiums were good. Everything was on point, but this whole situation has let us down. So my whole point is that Jamie Carragher, he may not be entirely right about his point and how he made the point, but I don't think he was also entirely wrong about what he said about African, like, AFCON, and for me, African football in general. Like, we are so way behind in so many things, and I think it's very important for us to acknowledge our faults so that we can address them rather than just try and sweep everything under the carpet and pretend like everything is fine and this is just a one-off situation and all of that. Like, bro, sometimes you have to look yourself in the mirror and try to just tell yourself the truth.
I don't think it was the eureka moment that Carragher think he had gotten, right? It just annoyed me that this had happened, but the same Carragher went around trying to explain that he wasn't trying to shit on AFCON. He wasn't trying to disrespect AFCON. So this only enforced that, yes, he was trying to do that. And he's a big fat liar. Because if you study what happened from disrespecting Mo Salah, right, when he disrespected Mo Salah, you were using AFCON against him. People reminded that the same AFCON you said is not a major tournament. Now you are using AFCON. He was trying to explain blah, blah, blah and all those things. All right, now you drop this to do what? You understand? So, such something that has happened, this doesn't just affect AFCON. It affects the football fraternity like entirely. You understand? In its entirety. So don't think it's happening here. People will not be learning from it and it won't get to FIFA one day. You understand? This is the time that you expect every expert to lend their boys, their knowledge and everything to this. You had players like Samir Nasri, Nigel Okoka, a whole lot of people talking against this, calling this an absolute joke. But they weren't calling it against like AFCON or shitting on the actual tournament. It was against CAF. So Jamie Carragher should have been smart enough to know that this is different from CAF and AFCON. Yes, I know it's the governing body and all of that, but let's not act like FIFA and UEFA and things, they don't act in their own interest and do shit. Yes, they've not done this to this level, but they've also done a lot of things that people can point out. So I don't need to see this from somebody like Jamie Carragher, right? That is what I want to say about this. But then again, it hurts me that we even gave him the opportunity for him to do so. Because people will see the funny side of it. I didn't see the funny side. I was like, Charlie, I hate that we become a mockery. I hate that we become a mockery, but now we do them. Now we cause them. That's all I have to say.
So anyway, this one is a short episode. We'll have more to talk about when we do a full recording with a full house on Sunday.
But and also, for now, sorry, before, not to cut you. Yes. Some of you, if something happened now, they can't mention ATWT. It is that we don't get things, though. It is that we don't get things, though. Get your friends to follow us. Get your friends to follow us on YouTube and things. We both get the point. We get enough followers and we are making money. If they get something small, every don't say people call we say we go do them. But people don't understand that we are doing this thing for you people. We are doing it by every small thing now. And I ATW, why are you silent? ATW, this is hey, you people don't say we get life.
Yeah. As crack they talk this for the people who they listen on audio, this will be the first time we ever record with crack day in full formal wear. Crack they wear office wear. We never record episode where crack day office wear before because that will tell you the sacrifice he did make because he did office right now.
Right now, we love go house. Bro, go catch us like
bro, it is 7:30 p.m. Oh, with the Miss Champions League. As we talk right now, Newcastle versus Barca they go on. Barca they lead 5-2, 6-2, safe. We they miss that match, the record for you. He still did office the record for you. So if people understand, say, like, bro, we they make sacrifices, bro. But lastly, like, I don't do the things. Like, it's not our fault. Like, things they happen. So the consistency where it drop, it don't be our fault. But we still go try for you. But yeah, Charlie, we've come to the end of this episode. If you haven't done this already, follow our social media pages, Twitter, Instagram, ATW Podcast, GCR, TikTok, After the Whistle. Subscribe to the YouTube, I beg. We are almost at 300 subscribers on YouTube. So we are just hoping that the number of subscribers we get on Spotify and Apple, we will get the same numbers on YouTube. That'd be all. Because be like, people, you prefer Spotify and Apple. You don't go to YouTube. So that's all we ask. That the same numbers we see over there. Those numbers will come to YouTube. That'd be all. But yeah, thank you for joining us, Crack. Charlie, your sacrifice here is very much appreciated. And I hope, say, you will get a safe journey home. And hopefully this will be the last time where I go force you to make you record from office. But yeah, Charlie, thank you for listening. And as always, OTW dominates the conversation.